Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Recently, I had the joy of speaking to a group of our friends from Cedar Springs Presbyterian Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. They were having a one-day retreat at the beautiful Eagle Rock Retreat Center. Although I was targeting these messages for folks like me who are not as young as we used to be, I hope that all our listeners will be encouraged by what is shared. You know, I prayed about what to share with you all because you're biblically literate. And some folks I get to teach, it's all new. They haven't even heard the Bible stories before. A lot of the kids who come to the ranch come with zero biblical background. And of course, tons of people out there in our culture have zero biblical background. They have not grown up steeped in the Scriptures. They didn't hear the Bible stories as a child, etc. But you all have. And so what does one say to a group like this? I want to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. This is the Word of God. Genesis 27. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now, Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." I'm sorry, I have to pause there because I want you to notice the way that Jacob phrased that. "I would appear to be tricking him." I mean, does that strike you as being funny? I would appear to be, it would appear that I am committing adultery. It would appear that I stole your rabbit. I mean, you know, it wouldn't just appear that way. He would be tricking him. His concern is not that this would be wrong. His concern is that it might appear to be wrong. Just thought we should not skim over that. His mother said, and by the way, his concern there is, "I'd bring down a curse on myself instead of a blessing." In other words, "Mother, this may not work. It's not, Mother, this isn't right." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Now again, we shouldn't skim over that. Talk about taking the Lord's name in vain. I mean, he's giving praise to God for the purpose of deceit. That's wicked. There are a lot of people who use religious terminology and the guise of religion and worship, even worship of the one true God, not for the purpose of worship of the one true God, but for the purpose of self-advancement. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, so I know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." I'm sorry, I can't skim over that either. He's got goat skin on his hands. When they say that Esau was a hairy man, they mean Esau was a hairy man. The hands are the hands of Esau. He didn't recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied, lying after lying after lying. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he brought him some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. May the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Is that a nightmare? He trembled violently. What a horrifying realization that his son, Jacob, lied to him and thwarted the plans of an aged father. I would suspect that, like me, you know of somebody who was deceived and taken advantage of by their own flesh and blood. Would you say that's true? And like me, you know people for whom that has happened toward the end of their lives. They trusted somebody, and that person turned out to be a deceiver. And when that happens, it's horrifying. And it breaks my heart when I hear from people who have lost their home or lost their savings or whatever because they trusted somebody who had a drug addiction or was just a lout. Horrible. And yet it's happening. Would you agree? That's a problem out there. And all of us want to be sure that it doesn't happen to us. I hope it's okay to say this in this group. Some of us are getting older. Okay? I went for a hike with my wife and my daughter back in 2016 to Abrams Falls. On the way back from the falls, I felt so strangely exhausted that, you know, I thought I might die. And I said to my wife and my daughter, I don't mean to upset you, but I just need to tell you, I want you to know that I love you. And they looked at me like, well, we love you too. What's he doing? what is this about? But as we went further up the trail, I continued to feel really lousy. And people who were total strangers walking toward us on the trail began asking, are you okay? Do we need to call 911? And they were serious. And I thought, well, I must look even worse than I feel because I feel like I'm going to die, but I'd like for people to say when I do keel over, wow, he looked good. You know? I mean, isn't that what matters? Is that we look good at the funeral? You know, people come in and say, wow, he looks like he's just sleeping. So anyway, closed casket, please, darling. I'm just telling you, it was a jarring experience, and I really did wonder if I was going to make it to the car. And I made it to the car, and I began to feel better, and I went home, and I posted on Facebook that, you know, it was really embarrassing to realize how out of shape I've become because this is what happened. And the guy who was the head of my hope for Billy Graham immediately responded and said, Jim, you need to go see a cardiologist right away because this could be a warning. And so I went, and by the end of that year, I had open heart surgery to replace my aortic valve and to repair my aortic aneurysm. And I'm glad I had the surgery, but I'll tell you something. Ever since that surgery, I'm not quite as sharp as I used to be, which it's okay because I was so sharp that I had some to lose. I literally signed my wife and me up for an evaluation at the Pat Summit Alzheimer's Clinic there in Knoxville because I could tell I always used to have basically a photographic memory. I mean, I could read something and I had it. I could hear something and I had it. And now I'm thinking, I think I read that, you know. I think I heard that. It's not what it used to be, okay? Yeah, you'll get there someday. And so I went to the Pat Summit Clinic, and they tested both of us, and they reassured us that we're not aging too rapidly. The amount of brain shrinkage is not abnormal for our age, okay? Such a comfort. So we went back for a second follow-up, and he said, actually, you've improved your scores. So whatever you're doing, keep it up. And I thought, if I could just remember what I was doing.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
I want to suggest to you that there are two ditches you need to avoid at this stage in our lives, okay? And the first one is something that we see here in Genesis chapter 27. It's depression. Now, I don't have a license to practice psychiatry, but I've been around, and I've been a pastor a long time, and I've dealt with a lot of senior adults, and I've read extensively, and I can tell you that depression is a significant problem for people, for many people, as they age, okay? especially when we realize that we're not quite as sharp as we used to be. A lot of people, as they age, begin to recognize a diminishment in their powers, men and women. And with that, often there is a temptation to do what Isaac did. What's that? Look again at the beginning of the chapter. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me, prepare me the kind of tasty food and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing," here's the phrase, "before I die." Okay. I don't know when I'm going to die, but I want to go ahead and do this before I die. So he went to bed. Why did he go to bed? Well, you're not going to stub your toe if you're in bed. And he couldn't see anymore. He had lost his vision, not just physically. The man, having lost his vision, felt that he had nothing to look forward to except his death. That's it. That's the only thing left. I mean, this is before Netflix. The man had nothing to look forward to except his death. And so he went to bed. He said, "Bring me some food, the kind I like." He still enjoyed his food. That's good. Some people get to where they can't do that. But he's lying in bed, waiting to die. For how long? Any idea how long? Have you ever done the math? Have you ever looked at the other stories? Look at chapter 35, beginning in verse 27. Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre near Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Okay, that's chapter 35. This is chapter 27. What happened in the intervening years? Well, Esau decided he was going to kill Jacob. Their mother said, "Jacob, please go to Laban's house, your uncle's house, my brother's house, and hang out until Esau gets over what you've done to him." Okay? So Jacob leaves, goes to Laban's, works 14 years in order to get his two wives, and of course with them picks up the extra baggage of a couple of concubines, and starts having children. And his oldest grows up and commits adultery with one of Jacob's wives, and actually one of the concubines, but nevertheless it was a wifely position. And so if he was an adult, let's see, he comes back, about 50 years. About 50 years, Isaac is waiting to die. For 50 years. Wow. That's a long time, isn't it? I would say that was a waste. Wouldn't you? But he lost his vision. He lost his eyesight. And he felt like, "I can't go on. Surely the Lord would not expect me to go on as a blind man. Surely I'm not going to have to be in this condition for long, because that just wouldn't be right. Surely the Lord will take me, and I'm ready to go." But God wasn't ready to take him. And for about 50 years, he wasted his life waiting to die. So I don't think I have to worry about living to be as old as he was. But do you want to waste your last years, or do you want to invest them? Now, I'm telling you this not because I think you're wasting your lives. I don't know your lifestyles well enough to say. And the fact that you got on a bus or in a car and came up here to enjoy being with each other and this view and the study of God's word and worshiping him, that tells me you're not like Isaac yet. But I don't want you to turn into Isaac. And let me tell you, one of the reasons that I'm preaching this message is I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me because I don't want to waste whatever time God gives me simply because I can't do all the things I used to do. And I can't do all the things I used to do. That is a fact. I mean, it's really true. My wife is nodding vigorously. No, I mean, you know Nick Cook, don't you? He's my ophthalmologist. Great guy. Wonderful doctor. Wonderful brother in Christ. I went to see Nick Cook, my ophthalmologist, years ago because my family was needing eye care. He did a magnificent job taking care of them, okay? Susan, after getting LASIK surgery years ago, went with me to the grocery store and she said, "Have those signs always been there?" It was the signs that tell where things are in the store. And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, no wonder you knew where everything was." Okay. I mean, gave her a brand new lease on life. So I, while everybody else was being checked, I had him check me, and my eyesight was, I mean, it was phenomenal, like my memory. I had just unbelievably good eyesight. And now, as the years have gone on, my eyesight isn't as good as it used to be. First thing that happened was my arms got too short. Some of you have that disease. You know, you hold things like this, and then like this, and then like this, and then, you know, your neck can only stretch so far in this direction, your arm so far in that direction, and then you have to get these. Okay, so that was the first thing to go. I could still see at a distance. Well, now I can still see at a distance, but I don't see as well as I used to. I used to be able to read things at a distance. I mean, just it was remarkable. You should all be jealous, or at least impressed. And so I went to see Nick, and I said, "Nick, my eyesight is really going down, and I'd like you to check it," because I figured I needed glasses. And I thought, if he gave me glasses, then I wouldn't need the cheap ones that are just readers. I'd have something that I could wear all the time, and I wouldn't have to keep doing this. I could get bifocals, and I thought that would be, you know, some kind of I'd finally be a grown-up. And so Nick tested, and he said, "Wow." He said, "You're right. Your vision has changed." And I said, "So what are we going to do about it?" And he said, "Nothing." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because now you're 20/20. Now you're envious. No, here's the thing. When our powers decline, we can focus on what we can't do that we used to be able to, or we can rejoice in what we still have. Amen? That's all the time we have for today, but we hope you're enjoying this talk. Be sure to tune in next time, and Lord willing, we'll bring you the conclusion. You won't want to miss it. Meanwhile, please pray for us. And if you're able, please help us financially. To find out more about the facets of this ministry, you can call us at 866-41-ABIDE or visit our website, pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.